Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
All right, welcome, listeners. It is currently nice outside.
Yeah, very nice.
I don't even know what the temperature is, but it really doesn't matter because the sun's shining. And that's cool because when you're sitting inside your car, it's like a giant terrarium. But nonetheless, enjoy it while we have it. Unfortunately, I was looking at the weather forecast for the next week coming up, and it was like abysmal. It's supposed to be rain.
Doesn't look great.
Like a huge swath of rain coming in off the Bering Sea.
Yep.
And I was like, man, that's perfect timing because what starts next week? I think the Tanana Fair does.
Oh, perfect.
And that's typical fair weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it wouldn't be the interior fair if it wasn't raining.
No, it's usually a horror movie set too. Rain, nice fair, ambient music, doesn't make sense. It's good.
Yeah. So stay on with us today for the show because guess who we have with us today? We have the YHAC team back from Arkansas where they pummeled Texas. And that's all we really care about. Apparently. So we got Melody and part of her crew in here. And did we get some people to actually call in?
Yes, we do.
Some of the other
one.
Members of the team?
Yeah.
Because we can't fit them all inside this box that we're in, this big purple eggshell box, like Barney's cabin or something.
Barney's prison.
But anyways, welcome, listeners. You're here with KFR with us here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Chuck and Matt's running the board for us. If you have any comments or, I don't know, words of information, maybe, 907-458-TALK. That's 8255 if you want to call in. Remember, you can always live stream the show over at kfarradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says listen live. If you're out in the middle of BFE, Alaska, and using your Starlink, you can jump on that way too. So let's start the show. Well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Remember, our Alaska state constitution essentially says the same thing. We copied it. And then added, the individual right to keep and bear arms shall not be denied or infringed by the state or a political subdivision of the state. Meaning, Los Anchorage can't make rules and take away our guns like, I don't know, Illinois and Chicago. Some crazy people down there. They can have that crap. Remember, freedom is not a bargaining chip. It's not a line ledger on a tax ledger. Hey, that's because we have the midterms coming up. I have to say this.
Absolutely.
Like people all the time, like I find it amazing that we have politicians that jump on and take pictures of them shooting a gun because they were like pro Second Amendment. No, they're not. Remember, they're the ones that are running around with the armed security teams while trying to take your guns away so you can't protect yourself and your family, especially up here in Alaska, knowing that it's going to take days for somebody to get out there and help you. Am I on a tangent today? I guess so. Anyways, gun owners, you must take note of this. We can't allow this betrayal to go any further without consequence. Hey, so the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program is taking a break for the hunting season. That's right. It's rolling up on us quick. We got like moose, caribou.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Whatever happens to wander in front of my vehicle. Anyways, the next meeting will be on October 8th over at the TVSA range over that. It's at 12:30 TVSA way. Imagine that. Not at 12:30. It'll be from 5 to 7 or something. Is there a meeting?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Anyways, ACHP class for C4 training group, August 8th and 9th is sold out. The next class will be 19th and 20th. Those are listed on our website, c4traininggroup.com. So jump on there. Wheel those classes over at Alaska Ammo. Also, we had our last weekend, Matt, you and I were out there, and Craig, our lead instructor. We had our C4 defensive rifle class out there as well. And that kind of leads into the discussion that we had out there for our firearms history lesson. I thought that was pretty cool. I remember one of the students was like, hey, why do they call this ball ammunition?
Yep, yeah.
And I had an epiphany out there, and I was like, well, it's probably because the original ammo was a ball. And then you know how the military is. They can't expand anymore on that.
Yep.
They can't call it a long round.
Semi-football.
I love it. Yeah, they can't call it a semi-football. We have to call it a ball.
Pigskin rounds.
So let's jump into this week in firearms history because I want to use the rest of the show for, we're not going to do an editorial today. We're going to use the rest of the show for the YHEC team. But nonetheless, let's get into this week in firearms history because part of the discussion we had out at the rifle class was, why is it called ball ammo? And so I was like, let me research this just a little bit. And I was spot on with what our determination was out there on the range. But the term ball ammunition, or simply ball ammo, is a historical holdover from the earliest days of firearms. The early origins were during the muzzle loading era, where the standard projectile was a round lead ball. Soldiers and hunters referred to their primary load as ball to distinguish it from shot. I thought that was interesting. So they had shot for hunting birds and stuff like that, and then the ball was used for hunting larger game and whatever they needed to for humans. But nonetheless, so the ball cartridge or ball load meant a single solid projectile intended for serious use against larger game or human targets. The mini ball then came along. And of course, they can't change the name, even though it looked like what? Like a cutoff football.
Exactly.
But even after the introduction of the mini ball in the 1840s, 1850s, a conical, hollow-shaped bullet that expanded to engage the rifling, the term ball persisted. Although the mini projectile was no longer spherical, it was still called a ball. Military language is conservative. Once a term is established in doctrine, manuals, and logistics, it tends to remain long after the original shape has changed. So during the modern military usage, by the late 19th and 20th centuries, ball had become the standard military designation for ordinary full metal jacket or solid projectile service ammunition. It distinguished standard combat rounds from specialized types such as, and I know this will make sense to you, Matt, because you and I were both in the military. They had to call it ball because they also had tracer.
Yep.
Armor piercing, or we had API. They had incendiary, blank, dummy. Right? So anytime somebody said ball, it automatically referred to live ammunition.
Live junk.
Live junk. Yeah. Well, tracer would be live. API would be live. Blank would essentially be live. I gotta digress a little bit. Okay. So there was a time in my past where we were like, as young infantrymen do in the field, is come up with crazy stuff. Did you ever take a blank round, put it in a rifle, M16 rifle, and then dump a cleaning rod down in there and shoot stuff with it?
No, we would, no, not that. We would, we'd make little can cannons. We'd cut the end of a monster can off and then, put it over the end and then try to fire it off. But we do it with the BFA on. That way it went more outwards and was able to push forward.
And that just split off of the flash suppressor?
It would split, but it would fly. It would go.
Would it?
Yeah.
And then we got wise and we took 22 pellets and you could super glue them to the end of a blank round. And you could use those to hunt rabbits out in the field.
The early day UTMs. I like that. They were, Chuck invented sim training with BB guns and 20 and blanks.
Crazy, right? So that was like not that was by trained professionals, not for home use. All right, anyways. So you'll still see this language in official nomenclature, such as cartridge 5.56, ball M8855, things like that. So the term survived because of linguistic inertia. What began as a literal description of a round lead ball continued through the mini era and into the modern cartridge age as the conventional label for ordinary solid projectile ammunition. It is one of the many examples in firearms terminology where historical language outlasts the original technology. So stay safe, stay armed, keep training, and we will see you in a range somewhere. All right. So before we go into the first break, this week we have our home team from the Alaska Youth Hunter Education Challenge in the studio. Woo! Yeah, so who do we have in here?
My name is Gabriel Purnell.
I'm Melody Taylor, one of the coaches.
And I'm Noah Garn.
And your position is what?
I'm a participant or a competitor.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Who was the other person that you had as a coach with you, Melody?
Judah. My oldest son.
Yeah. Oh, oldest. Gotcha.
My older brother.
That's your brother.
Gabriel's brother.
Gabriel's brother.
My older brother was the other coach.
Yeah. Apparently, you didn't do very well because you sucked.
We did pretty well in everything. But
airing it out live on the air. Perfect. No,
but we beat Texas.
And we did get some awards. We have some awards to brag about.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that because that's awesome. I think that's perfectly good. And the trip down, like some of the participants, it was like the first time they ever were on that big of a plane, I guess.
Yeah, Elias Bear. That was the first time he's ever been out of Alaska.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I shared that last time. Like the first time I'd ever been out of Idaho was on a plane when I went to basic training.
He really hated the humidity.
Down in Arkansas? Everybody does.
Yeah.
That's why Arkansas people are mad. Is because like their life sucks in the humidity.
Arkansas, more like Arkansas.
They were actually really cool people.
I know.
Super awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, the headquarters of Walmart is there. So
there was nowhere to shop except Walmart.
They were ghetto.
There was Walmarts on every corner.
What about dollar store?
I saw one.
Yeah, did you? There were a few, but nothing major.
We went and picked up our oldest granddaughter in Virginia and took her to Tennessee. I swear there is a dollar store or a Dollar General like literally every mile.
I thought you were about to say you picked up your granddaughter from the dollar store. It's like, ooh.
Well, she may have been shopping there.
Uh-oh.
She's a college student. So, yeah, that's about all you can afford. You can't even afford Chick-fil-A down there. That's too expensive. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go into our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation here with the Y-Hat team. It's going to be interesting because they got some awards and some decorations and all kinds of other cool stuff to talk about. So, nonetheless, stay tuned with us here at KFAR 97.5 FM 660 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
Ms. Fernandez, what are those tiny things?
Those are called amoebas. You can only see them through a microscope.
Wow. Today's students are tomorrow's great thinkers and innovators. But right now, there's a funding crisis in public schools. Donors Choose is a nonprofit that lets you support students and teachers in your community and beyond. You could provide pencils and paper, help a music class get a guitar,
or even a science project for a classroom like mine.
Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. This is Lori Prox of KVAK with an update on the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby. On the first day of the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby, Joseph Rippey of Anchorage brought in an 11.40-pound catch to win the first-place daily prize and take a solid lead in the overall derby. On Sunday, Tanner Williams knocked him off the leaderboard. He reeled in a 12.42-pound silver. Biggest silver in the Valdez Derby now through September 6 wins $10,000 cash. Rippey drops to second place with that 11.40-pound fish, and Roger Metz of Elko, Nevada is currently in third place with an 11.10-pounder. And in the Halibut Derby, it takes a big fish to win $10,000, but it doesn't always take a big fish to win the weekly first and second place prizes. Last week, there were numerous halibut weighing close to or more than 200 pounds, and the competition for the weekly prize was fierce. This week, a 113.8-pound halibut took the first-place weekly prize, and a 100-pound fish took the second-place weekly prize. Rodney Myers of Franktown, Colorado, is still leading the derby with a 256-pound halibut he caught July 16th aboard the Hooked Up. Valdez Fish Derbies is hosting the Women's Silver Salmon Derby on August 8th with an opening on the 7th, and the Silver Salmon Slam competition is August 28th through September 6th.
Sure, the fishing is great in Valdez, but we also have opportunities to get outside and explore. Enjoy unbelievable views on one of our many hiking trails, kayak the Sound, book a glacier tour, or learn about Valdez's rich history at one of our many museums. Stop by our visitor center on Fairbanks Drive for advice on everything Valdez. Discover more at ValdezAlaska.org.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it have a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
If silver salmon fishing in Valdez is in your plans, stop into Frontier Outfitters before you get on the road for all the fishing gear, licenses, and tags you'll need. From rods to reels, from lures to lines, and nets to sunglasses, Frontier Outfitters knows what you need for a successful trip. Why waste your valuable fishing time looking for gear in Valdez when it's at Frontier Outfitters today? Plus, marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Make Frontier Outfitters your first stop. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Highs around 69 today. Under mainly cloudy skies, winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. 49 tonight, partly cloudy. Partly cloudy tomorrow, high of 76. Temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Slight chance for isolated showers Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereeden in the studios here in Fairbanks, Alaska with Shooter's Corner. And we have our YHEC team in here from the Alaska Youth Hunter Education Challenge. They just got back from Arkansas where they had fun down there. Yeah, they had fun.
We had fun. We had ticks. We had alligator.
What?
We gave it.
Alligator was amazing.
Oh, you ate one.
We ate alligator.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Noah cooked it up.
Because ticks, like, normally jump on bodies. And I was thinking, like, when you said an alligator, I was like, and one of those jumped on whom? Like, actually, are we missing somebody still? Like,
we actually did not see any wildlife except for domestic cattle and dead possum, dead deer.
Not dead
deer.
Dead
raccoon.
There were two live deer during
shotgun. And those were all on the road?
Dead armadillo.
Yeah, most of those were on the road.
There were two salamanders, too, on the tree during 22 pistol.
Were you able to properly identify them, though?
Because
remember that conversation we had before you guys left? You couldn't remember what a turtle looked
they
like.
They were
or something, like a turtle skull.
Not salamanders. They're a salamander species, but they're one of the only salamanders where salamander isn't in the name. It's called a skink.
It's a gecko.
It was
trying to sell you insurance.
It was a skink.
I also saw a daddy long legs that had legs that were like 3 or 4 inches long. It was huge.
Daddy long legs are like a very poisonous spider, but their mouth is too big or too small to be able to bite a human.
Right.
Did you know that?
I still wasn't really fond of him.
Yeah, I don't like spiders, period. Nor snakes.
Usually I pick the spiders up and chase my husband around with them, but I did not know what that thing was, so I got away from that.
And your husband wasn't there.
I'm going to go ahead and answer one of the callers that's currently in the background. Can you hear us? Caller.
You have to click on the little green button over there?
Oh, it's already done.
Huh.
Is it Mariah, Elias, or
Let's try
so we have some other...
Here we go.
Other people that want to call in.
This is Chuck and Matt with Shooter's Corner.
Hola.
Am I supposed to say something?
Yes, please.
It's Mariah.
Hello, Mariah. You're on with Chuck, Matt, and the rest of your team here at Shooter's Corner. And we're talking about how you messed up something. I'm just kidding.
Hope I didn't mess up too much.
No, what was your best competition down there? What was the best event for you?
The 22 pistol was my favorite event, probably because I did the best with it, but I liked the shotgun too.
Good. And how'd you score on the 22? Like, what was the scoring matrix on that and stuff like?
I got 200 out of 300 points.
200 out of 300? What kind of ranges were you guys shooting at? Distance, I mean.
Yeah, anywhere between 15 to 30 yards, I think, or more is what they said.
It was 30 plus. The farthest I judged was like 45 yards at the really far one. It was pretty downhill, too.
Are you shooting like at a B8 target or something even smaller?
A tiny little gopher that's on a swivel, so you hit it and it falls over and then...
So it's like a metal...
They were so small. A lot of them were only about 4 to 6 inches, and after they had been hit so many times, they actually turned like black, and you couldn't see them. Like in 22 long rifle, I was the very last competitor, and the guy swore there was a squirrel down there somewhere, and I never saw it. And I actually told him I don't feel safe shooting because one of the safety rules is always know your target, and I cannot see a target. And he's like, just shoot 3/4 up that box, you can see. I was like, I don't see anything I'm not shooting, so.
No, that's fair enough right there. Like, were they, like, originally, like, metal targets that are painted white, and then, as they get hit so many times? Yeah, exactly.
They were supposed to spray paint them halfway, and they did for muzzleloader and for pistol, but just, I think they learned the lesson on 22 that they needed to stop and paint them halfway.
They should use, like, the titanium where you can put it in the box with the chemicals, and it turns it between colors depending how long you put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it in there and you can get like a bright orange color after like 40 seconds, something like that. And then it'll stay after you shoot them too.
Yes, because squirrels are bright orange.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Well, some are actually red.
Yeah,
box squirrels.
We saw a few.
They get in the paint.
Oh, yeah. I did see one live animal, wild animal. I saw a giant squirrel like the size
She's
of my
just
cat.
Blind.
That was a possum.
They said it was a squirrel.
That's that wildlife identification portion. You failed, Melody. They said it was a squirrel.
They said it was a fox squirrel or something.
Yeah, red fox squirrels. We had them down in Georgia, too.
Yeah.
I shot one time because it was in a tree across from my deer stand, like chirping, like barking, like, yeah. And I knew that it was like telling all the deer not to come over there. It was like warning everybody in the forest. So he took a 200 grain 35 Remington.
Oops.
Anyways. Statute of limitations ran out on that. Anyways. All right. So back to, who's our listener on the phone, or caller?
Mariah.
Mariah. Thank you. Right, I apologize, Mariah.
Is Alina there?
She is not.
Oh.
Okay.
She's Mariah.
So they're calling in from Delta?
Yes.
Okay. That's okay. Met them last time, right?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Any other events that you liked?
I liked them all.
Did you like the dancing, Mariah? The dance off?
Is that the Russian dancing thing that you guys posted on Facebook?
I didn't even stay to watch it. But yeah. I saw videos of it. It looked weird.
How was the jet lag? Jet lag affect anybody? Like the whole sleep cycle thing?
There was one night that I couldn't sleep until real late, but we were so busy. Your days were packed full
with events.
And you had to walk out to the events and then walk a lot in the events. So you were very tired. And it was so hot, miserably hot.
Yeah. You know what I do like about the lower 48, though, is the fact that you can sit outside and see the stars.
Yeah, we saw lightning.
And not freeze your sack off.
Yeah.
Like literally here, the only time you can see the stars is in the wintertime. Yeah. So that's nice.
We got
nice.
To see lightning bugs too, so that was cool.
Oh, cool. Did you catch them?
We caught a few.
Did you?
They shot them with 22s.
Yeah.
They're practicing.
Yeah. That's the only target that Melody could see.
For 22? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What else we got? I know we got plenty. You got another half hour to go.
Noah should speak on his win.
Yeah, I took...
A 300 out of 300?
Yes, I did get a 300 out of 300.
On?
I took Safety Trail, and I actually took third place with a perfect score. Go figure. But it was... I lost a tiebreaker to two different people.
Okay.
And so there was four total people, of which myself was one of them. But there was four different people that got a perfect score, and I beat one and lost to two others. So took
third. Is that a time thing? Was that the definitive...
No, it was. They referred back to the Hunter Ed test for that, and so it was whoever scored better on the test got the.
Oh, that's lame.
Tell us about the safety trail before we have to go into a mandatory break. The music will kick on. When you hear that kick on, then you'll know we got a break. But sure, go ahead. Tell us about the safety trail.
Okay. Yeah, it was a series. So it was a trail through a field or along a tree line that consisted of a series of shoot or don't shoot scenarios, as well as knowledge-based questions such as, you know, is this blind legal? Are you in season for this certain, you know, game species or whatever it is? So, yeah, it was pretty straightforward. You just kind of had to know your stuff. So.
And that's when you had to know the hunting laws for Arkansas?
It was Iowa, actually.
Oh, that's right. We did talk about that. So another state.
Yeah, definitely weird. A little bit of a mind game. We left Alaska to go to Arkansas to hunt in Iowa. So it was a bit of a bit
right,
of a mind
right.
game.
So what was the – did the kid from Iowa win that?
There was no Iowa team.
There was no Iowa team?
Nope.
Huh.
Don't know how Iowa got selected for the regulations.
Probably
because there was no team.
Coming, so no one would have an unfair advantage.
Fair point.
Maybe. That's actually a valid point. Like, all right, so what was some of the things that were in species or in season and stuff like that? Like,
sure, yeah.
What was one of the animals that, like, they would have there that you didn't have up here?
Yeah, definitely. So lots. I would shoot anything from deer. We had turkey.
Coyote.
Yep, coyote. That was another one. I believe there was also a black
bear. Did you tell them all? Well, the deer, coyote, were all in season in Alaska.
Right? Yeah. Seriously.
Because doesn't Fish and Game up here consider them to be like a feral animal that there is no season? Remember they had a conversation out there around Delta about a whitetail or something like that that had made it up here,
deer,
a mule deer or something
coyote
like that.
If you see a deer in Alaska, they want you to take it out because they can bring that chronic wasting disease to moose, and it's very devastating to moose.
Yeah, exactly.
They want them gone.
The coyote question down there was... My mom answered it wrong.
Well, thanks for
dang.
That,
no, you're welcome.
I love it.
The question was, you had already shot 10, and you see another. Do you want to shoot it? And she said no, because she assumed that 10 was too many. But since they're so invasive, you can
there's
shoot
no limit.
There's no limit at all.
It's probably like wild pigs.
Yeah,
I had no idea. I couldn't remember reading it. And the question before it was definitely a yes shoot. And so I was like, I don't know. I shot the deer last time. Let's just let the coyote go. I have no idea.
Well, it's funny, though, is as I recall, I don't think they even care how you shoot it in Iowa. It's just like kill it somehow.
Yeah,
make it
you
die.
Can use thermal scopes, whatever you want for pigs or coyote.
I think got it. That is awesome. Thermals with force reset triggers.
Yep. Suppressed, nods, suppressed, night vision, little birds with IR.
You can shoot the hogs from helicopters in Iowa.
Oh yeah,
you can do that in Texas too.
Yeah,
I almost wanted to sign up for one of those. Huh?
You can. Well, you can do it if you join the
military.
But I would
have to have like
Iraq,
a 240 or something like
deal
that.
With people. Find your local recruiter's office today.
All right. Thank you, baby Jesus, for going into our first mandatory break before Matt started talking too much. All right. Stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner. We'll be right back with the White Hat team here and continue on our conversations about, I don't know, Melody, like, not wanting to shoot too many coyotes or something. I don't know, but we'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned with us, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
KFAR, streaming live 24/7 at KFARradio.com. Thanks to the Tanana Herb Company.
I'm John Saucier. Vote to advance Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche's nomination, officially become head of the Justice Department, postponed after two Republican senators withheld their support. Senators John Cornyn and Tom Tillis calling for the Trump administration to commit to never creating a proposed anti-weaponization fund. Senator Cornyn questions why the administration won't agree to it.
It's what he testified to under oath, so it's not like this is something new and different. And it causes me concern if they don't want to put it in writing that this is not something that is going to be enforceable in the long term.
We heard from Senator Elizabeth Warren. She blames President Trump for the nation's economic challenges.
For everybody out there who says they'd like to be paying less on their credit cards, they'd like to have a chance to be able to get a lower cost mortgage, the answer to that is your problem is exactly one human being.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports young anglers will have a special opportunity to fish for coho salmon this August when the Alaska Department of Fish and Game sets aside a portion of the Nick Dudiak Fishing Lagoon in Homer for youth-only fishing. This Saturday, August 1st, from 12:01 a.m. to 11:59 p.m., a designated section of the lagoon near the entrance to the Nick Dudiak Fishing Lagoon on the Homer Spit will be reserved for anglers age 15 and younger. Fish and Game will be on site from 2 till 5 p.m. to assist young anglers and provide loaner equipment. Fishing rods will be available for youth to borrow on a first-come, first-served basis. Anglers age 16 and older will not be allowed to fish in the posted youth area across from the lagoon entrance during the event. However, the remainder of the lagoon will remain open to anglers of all ages. And finally, the fair season starts tomorrow. The Tanana Valley State Fair in Fairbanks opens up tomorrow at noon. For more details about the Tanana Valley State Fair, check out their website at tvsfa.org.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
So, you want to go so far up the river, you need an airboat? Well, that's just scary, and it's why you need Rogers Auto Repair. Hey, make sure everything works perfectly before you leave. I mean, everything works, right? Rogers Auto knows airboat and inboard maintenance. They use and maintain both for decades, using ultralight plywood so your airboat repairs are light as a feather. Before you disappear up your favorite skinny little excuse for a river, call Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereaden at the Shooter's Corner studio inside our, what do you call it?
Barney's Prison.
Barney's Prison, yeah.
It's purple and spiky.
That is a way to put it, yes.
Yes, it is. I think it's like some sound control thing or something. I have no idea, but we don't care. Anyways, we're going to talk to the White Hat team about their experiences down in Bentonville, Arkansas, mm-hmm. The home of Walmart. One of the things I thought was cool on the break, we were talking about, you had to identify what a nutria was.
Yeah, never seen
it. It was just a skull, too.
It was just the skull of a nutria. For the listeners that don't know, a nutria is not Nutella, which is a chocolate spread, which is absolutely amazing.
It's a giant rat.
That might have been one of the options.
It's a giant rat.
It really looks like a beaver, just without the beaver tail.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was just a skull, and your it was multiple choice. You had four choices. So it said, like, beaver, nutria, skunk, or I don't know. It had a couple other things on
groundhog.
It. And groundhog, yeah. So it wasn't easily identifiable to us without having ever learned, like, the comparisons of those animals.
Okay, I have to ask, though. I mean, could you eliminate it because it didn't have beaver teeth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they just have tiny beaver teeth.
It did have beaver teeth. But they're just smaller. Okay. But, coming from Alaska, it was difficult because we're going like, well, all of our animals seem to be bigger and kind of different in Alaska. Even if it's a beaver, it's a little different and bigger than down there. So is that a beaver? Maybe it's a beaver.
Beaver teeth are like huge decide. From the very top, and their top teeth are huge, whereas the nutria were just two equal-sized teeth right. on top and bottom.
Yeah.
And you got that correct?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
We don't know. We don't know.
They don't give us their answers. Oh,
they don't tell you.
No idea.
I think really quick, we're going to need Elias on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Elias, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Hi, Elias.
Perfect.
All right, Elias, we want to give you a little bit of equal time, too. So what was, like, your favorite event?
Let's see here. I think by far the shotgun was that was so fun.
It seems to be the general consensus. I'm seeing a lot of head nods here in the studio as well. So what did you shoot with the shotgun? Just clays?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a few weird clays like that were supposed to represent rabbits and little birds. Like rabbits, they would run them along the ground and they would bounce up and down. I didn't hit a single one of them, though.
Noah did. And Gabe did. Mm-hmm. And Mariah, I think.
I hit three of my rabbits but didn't hit any of the tiny birds because you had to shoot a rabbit and then aim up and hit the bird within 4 seconds each.
I think there were 3 or 4 inch clays. For the small birds.
Not that big.
Right.
Very fast, too.
That's a standard clay size, though.
Standard clay is like that big.
Yeah, it was definitely.
We're using hands in here. The listeners cannot see the hands.
Yeah, I know.
So instead of softball, they're baseballs.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. So kind of like a sporting clay kind of thing going on.
And then the rabbits.
But how many rabbits did you have a chance to, like, hit?
You
said you got 3 of them, right?
Yeah, you get.
Out of what, 20?
5. Well, and it was like one of them was a rabbit and then a bird, like right after it. I forgot what the
bird
terms
and then the
we
rabbit.
Used were.
Yeah, yeah. Or so they kind of alternated it.
Yeah, and even watching it and not being the one shooting, it was very difficult to see both. Like you were watching that rabbit, saw him shoot, and then you're like, wait, I never even saw the bird. Where was the bird?
The tiny birds, too, were only orange on the top. They're black on the sides, too. So trying to see that when it's moving maybe like 15 miles an hour through the air immediately after you shoot the rabbit, it was really hard.
Yeah, so a difficult transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they did different. So you have 5 opportunities, right? I believe 3 of them were report pairs, so that gave you a little bit of time, and you could tell when it was starting, you know. But the last 2 were true pairs, so just substantially harder going along those lines. So.
And when you say report pairs, after you shoot one, then the other one automatically gets kicked out?
That's correct. So the
okay.
term
versus the simultaneous, flying
at
the same time.
That's
okay.
correct, yep.
Fair enough.
I think the coolest thing about all these kids saying shotgun was one of their favorite, and I would agree. I think shooting shotgun's fun no matter if there's a target in front of you or not.
Fair enough.
But I think the coolest thing about that is, like, comparatively, we did not do well in shotgun. Like, those boys from Louisiana, they must duck hunt, like, every day that they are able, and they just killed it. They slayed it out there, so... but I think it's fun to hear the kids say, regardless, they just had fun shooting shotgun.
I talked to the Louisiana team, and they are, like, their whole team is a traveling trap team. That's
nice.
One of the only events they actually were, like, we did amazing at this.
Yeah. One thing on that, though, that was cool is, like, we did train to have our firearms on safety and below the hip before seeing the target,
right.
And they did not. And their coaches kind of threw a fit about that, like saying, that's not, we've never done that before. And they said, oh, well, like that's the rules and that's what you would do hunting. And so we were kind of more prepared than them in that regard, which was kind of cool. They still beat us.
Elias, what'd you like the least about Arkansas?
Always having to be on the lookout for ticks, maybe.
Oh. Yep.
Do you have a phobia of ticks, Elias?
Oh, what's that?
Do you have a phobia of ticks?
Well, not really.
You know, like a small predator-type insect that attaches to your body and like starts sucking the blood out of you?
Judah.
You're a host.
Judah,
mosquitoes.
Who is not here today, he definitely had a phobia of ticks, yes. And Noah was laughing about it because Judah is an Alaska hunting guide, and he's, you know, rugged, used to the woods. He drinks water the bats pooped in or whatever. But he was terrified of ticks. Like,
he's allergic to a lot of different bugs. He did not want to test his luck with ticks.
Yeah.
It was comical to watch, though.
You have to have your hair short like mine.
Well, I definitely understood his fear, but it was still kind of comical, like Smelly said. Because, I mean, yeah, this guy, you know, stare down a bear, no problem, any of these things. He just lives with them, right? And then it's, you say, like, the word tick, and this tiny little creature, you know, less than an ounce in weight, has got this guy jumping all over everywhere trying to find it.
You know why? I can fight a bear with a gun. I can see bears as they come up. You know, they're a little out. A tick, unseen killer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They do carry a lot of, like, bad diseases. Lyme disease. I mean, you are the host. Lyme, Rocky Mountain spotted. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that they can carry that can literally kill you. So, yeah.
Lyme disease doesn't kill you. It just takes away your red meat. So.
That's not that other one.
Wait.
There's one. It's not Lyme's disease, but there's one that can make you allergic to meat. And so we were all saying if we left Arkansas allergic to meat, that something.
I would end up being a vegetarian.
Rabies.
Yeah. Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, big time.
What do you mean I can't have a burger anymore? Yeah, that would definitely suck.
Yeah.
All right, so we got ticks out of the way. What else were you guys afraid of down there?
I don't know. I think that was the biggest thing. We really enjoyed, just the whole event was a lot of fun. Hospitality of the different teams was fantastic. They made us feel, you know, a part of the group down there. You know, there's very much so like a camp setting. So like you have, not that anybody was staying overnight necessarily, right. But it's, every time you're there, you need to be heading for water or some sort of shelter, something like that. So they were very welcoming and hospitable in that sense. So
that's super cool. This is like an NRA sponsored event though, right?
It is, yeah. Okay. And but each state had like their own canopy, and several times, you know, from the day we got there, people were thanking us for coming and saying that they'd hoped for Alaska to come for the last 40 years that they've had this.
And we haven't been there before?
We've only ever had two other competitors go, but not as a team once before. Okay. In 2009.
I thought it was one that went twice.
No, it's two kids. So never as a team. We've never you know, sponsored to get a team from here to go. It was like two individuals that went on their own.
Well, that's awesome. Now you guys have some data points you can bring back. You know what you need to train for now.
Exactly. Definitely. And it's already
building a replica target of what they had us shooting for 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. And get Melody out there shooting at like blacked out targets so she can see stuff.
Yeah. We've already looked at like the dates for next year. Next year is being held in Pennsylvania. And so we've already looked into, you know,
the Keystone State,
all that stuff. And we hope that other people will just go too. You know, you can if your kid participates in statewide heck, they're eligible to go to nationals. They don't have to place high or anything. They're eligible to go. And if you as a parent volunteer at state, then state will pay for your hotel stay, your kid's hotel stay, and your meals while you're there. So you're just paying for your airfare for you and your kid to go.
Oh, wow.
That is not a bad deal.
That's solid.
Yeah, so I'm hoping some parents will come up on that. I'm thinking of taking my 11-year-old next year just because it was so much fun. It was great.
Now, are you eligible to go next year as well?
Yeah, okay. Both me and Noah are going next year.
Good.
The only competitor that aged out is Mariah.
Mariah aged out, and then Alina, who came this year, her sister Jaina beat her out this year in state, so Jaina will be eligible to go as part of the team next year instead of Alina.
Okay. So what are some of the things? Well, we got to go into a break.
We can.
Okay, let's go into that, and then when we come back, let's talk about some of the things that you, wish you would have done different. You know? Maybe on some of the competitions and stuff like that.
A little hot wash.
Yeah, let's do a hot wash on that. A little AAR, after action review. So, and how we can improve. Especially with the land nav portion.
Oh, yeah.
Because Matt screwed you up.
Yep, that's all me.
It's all on Matt. All right, stay tuned with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with Shooter's Corner, where we have the youth, Alaska Youth Hunter Education Challenge team in the, here in the studio with us discussing their trip to Arkansas. We'll be right back after this break.
Summer in Alaska is calling. Is your ride ready? From camping trips and fishing weekends to road trips, ATVs, boats, and side-by-sides, summer fun starts with a vehicle that works and plays as hard as you do. At Auto Trim Design in Fairbanks, they help you gear up with accessories and upgrades that make every adventure better. From truck accessories and window tint to remote starters, audio, and more. This summer, take the scenic route, hit the trails, and enjoy every mile, knowing your ride was customized by Auto Trim Design.
If silver salmon fishing in Valdez is in your plans, stop into Frontier Outfitters before you get on the road for all the fishing gear, licenses, and tags you'll need. From rods to reels, from lures to lines, and nets to sunglasses, Frontier Outfitters knows what you need for a successful trip. Why waste your valuable fishing time looking for gear in Valdez when it's at Frontier Outfitters today? Plus, marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Make Frontier Outfitters your first stop. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 69. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 49. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 76. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're here with Chuck in the studios here at in Fairbanks. We're Shooter's Corner. Kind of jump right back onto that real quick.
Yeah, real fast.
That's a really short break there, man.
That was tiny.
Tiny. Tiny.
It was like a minute and a half.
Like tiny little hands.
Tiny.
All right, so anyways, we're here with the YHEC team here. We got Melody and the rest of her crew here. And we're going to talk about some of the things that they might need to modify and train on to be able to get back. So we know that Matt from C4 Training Group went out there and helped you guys with some of the land nav and stuff like that. What do we need to change on that to get you guys to like up to speed on? You mentioned something about UTM.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Which is not Ultimate Training Munitions. It's Universal Traverse Locator for those of you listening out there. But anyways, go ahead. What you got?
Yeah, it was just the course hinged heavily upon knowledge and like familiarity with that,
right.
So it would reference it on several occasions, and again, speaking from someone very unfamiliar with it, so several times we were like, man, if we knew what this was, it would be so much more helpful in the like narrowing down the possibilities and just the function of the test. So yeah, definitely something to improve on was, you know, getting familiar with that, very just functional with it, competent.
They gave us three maps to work from, and so sometimes you would have to use all three, like three maps with different scales or different, I don't know. They were the same area, but, different scales or different things, and you kind of had to use all three to answer some of the questions.
Okay.
And it is hard, like, not knowing what we got wrong. There was one that that we had to use, like,
not for me.
Like it said, you heard a voice, someone calling for help, and you're located here, and then someone else heard the voice, and they were located here. So by those distances, and this person was calling from a cliff. So like, you intersect.
That's an intersection.
Where you intersect your line on the map is where that person is and needs help. So I think that I got that right, but we don't know. But we did go over that with Matt, so that was really helpful because I wouldn't have known how to do that without having gone over that with Matt. The field portion was you took your GPS out to the middle of the field, found the first marker, turned in your phone, and then you had to do compass bearings. So if you got one of those bearings wrong, then you got them all wrong because, you know, it was. And so that's where I messed up. I found the initial one. Then I used my compass to shoot the azimuth for the next one. I found a marker right away. And so I was like, oh, good. I'm doing this right. And then I found my other markers, but I didn't realize that he put markers very close to each other. So you had to be dead on for your bearings.
Right. For your azimuth.
Yeah, for your azimuth.
Is so funny because we talked about it. Like, hopefully they don't do that where if you're 5 meters away from the next point and they, you know, they really.
Well, it depends on the distance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Short distance, it's not that big of a deal. No. But as we keep going farther out, your error.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we're talking 350 feet maximum distance, stuff like that. So
they measured their distance.
That's chump change, man. You're not doing like a 15K freaking azimuth. Okay.
Yeah, all of their distances were measured in feet, so you take your pace and you have to convert it to your feet. That was hard.
True too.
Jeez.
Definitely interesting there. I'd never seen a course. I haven't seen much, but I've never seen a course which was measured in feet like that. That was interesting. I was kind of prepared for, you know, yards and or meters, but feet threw me off.
Next year, we need what the other competitors were using, which is a pace card that shows you, like, this many paces, it's going to be this many feet or this many meters and this many yards. That'll really help us rather than just trying to do the quick math.
Could you do any terrain association out there at all?
It's just a big flat field.
Big flat forest or something?
The only determining mark would be
like Fort Benning.
A certain telephone pole, but that's rarely exactly.
And that's not going to be indicated on a map anyways. So that's not going to be a terrain feature.
For the last map, that was the only thing on it was just each power pole.
And you had to find your spot. Orient your map, and it was pretty hard to tell which power poles, like how it lined up. I was like, there's a lot more.
Did Matt teach you how to orient your map with your compass to north?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least I got that right.
Well, so actually,
I'm getting blamed for Y-Hex demise over here.
I'm in Arkansas.
It's all Matt. We couldn't shoot, but it's Matt's fault about the compass.
I think Arkansas.
That
kind
of set the stage for everything.
Yep,
all the rest of the failures came from Matt's compass.
You know, this is Shooter's Corner. I'm turning the board off.
I think it was a little bit unfair that they had Arkansas with like 115 degree weather mid July. Yeah. I say we hold nationals up here like mid-December and see how all of the other competitors do.
Right.
No.
And then we can talk.
No. End of January, beginning of February.
Yeah.
Hold it then.
They'll be like, oh, there's
get some random heat spike. Stuff is kind of melted. They're just slipping, snapping ankles. You guys are looking like, you know, you're geared up,
gazelles.
Ready to go. Yeah, exactly.
We should note also that Judah, he didn't, you know, as coaches, we didn't compete. Our scores did not go towards the kids' team scores or anything. But he did win third overall for coaches division, and there was, I think, 28 coaches.
And
so that was pretty cool. And then Alina, and I apologize to Mariah and Gabe and Elias because I'm not thinking of any of their highlights, but I know Alina, she got a hole in the wall for muzzleloader, which was like a 1.5-inch hole that you had to shoot your muzzleloader through. And she got that, and she got a special little pin for doing that. So
nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like little personal achievements that I think everybody got while down there. And overall, like I, as a coach, I said to them on the way back, like I teach ski lessons here in the interior. And after an hour and a half, I typically go home and say, that kid was such a brat. I am so glad that's over. I did not feel like I had spent a week with these kids at all. Like everybody was always in a good mood. There was no bad attitudes, no arguments, no throwing fits about food or anything. Like everybody, I didn't feel like I needed a break from them. They just did fantastic. And I got good reports from other people at YHEC telling me like, those kids are so good and they're so happy. Like they don't care if they lost, they're just happy to be here. So it was just great. We definitely represented the state well in that regard. And we'll have to work on our scores for that.
The lower 48 is lazy. We went down there and they asked, on the last day, they asked all the competitors to help clean up like the events because they have maybe 40 volunteers and that's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and Judah and then Noah was helping at a few events. We were all there until it was completely done and we looked around and all of the other teams were just sitting under their canopies. And I'm like, guys, it was an hour and a half of work.
The girls and I and Elias were all helping as well.
Yes.
And the girls, they actually, one of the volunteers asked if they were bodybuilders because they were slinging these heavy, heavy targets into the backs. And Judah looks at him and goes, no, they're farm girls. They're Alaska farm girls.
Mm-hmm.
Even better.
Yeah. That's what they do with moose. They like wrestle them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a warm up.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask if we wrestle a moose or bear. And I'm like, the closest I've done is a wounded moose and you position its head so you can finish it.
I'm good with that.
Sure. No. It's wrestling a moose.
Yeah. It's funny you should say that, though. I actually went on a call one time where there was this guy who's actually right over at Blaine. I got to say this. Like Blaine Lake. You know where that's at, right? Off of Farmer's Loop, right? Anyways, we got a call about the injured moose, like a vehicle versus moose over there. And I roll up in my patrol car, and there's a guy who's literally almost like got this thing like in a chokehold. right? Mm-hmm. And he's stabbing it in the side of the neck with a Swiss Army knife.
Oh my goodness, that's terrible.
Trying to like put it out of its misery, like. And as I walk up, a school bus full of kids go drive by.
Oh no.
And all the window lickers are looking out at this guy. And he's like from Finland or something like that. I got to put this moose out of its misery. Like, oh, it's like, all right, cool, dude. Like, why don't you step out of the way so I can, like, I don't know, use my gun to do it?
And,
like,
wow.
In this thing faster. Anyways, I just had that vision in my head because you were saying that you were like, had to wrestle a moose. But anyways, cool.
I have one very last thing I want to throw out there.
No, you don't have one very last thing. You need to tell us about, like, did we already talk about her not being able to see the squirrel thing?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, we talked about that on the air, or did we say that during the break?
No, we talked about it.
Okay. Melody, what else did you screw up? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, plenty. Definitely plenty. But I was happy to know that I wasn't, like, bottom of the barrel for most of the
No, that's awesome.
Stuff,
so, you guys did great representing the state of Alaska.
Yeah, it was great.
If anything, everybody else is going to walk away from there saying, man, what a great group of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've actually gotten several texts from them and then messages on Facebook saying, what can we do to help you guys come back next year? We want to see Alaska. We want to see more teams from Alaska coming.
So go talk to the Walton family. Tell them to pay our airfare.
So, well, and that's what, you know, and so that was my last thing that I was going to say is the kids are still working on finishing up a little bit of our fundraising from this trip. Plus, we obviously want to try to go next year. So, on the 8th of August, we are doing like a bake sale and continuing those raffle ticket sales at the Rimfire Ruckus that's occurring at the range out in North Pole, the Diamond and Spear Range. We'll be there then, and then we'll take what we have left the following day over to Alaska Ammo. So those are options to help us out. You can also join our Facebook page and see how to Venmo for those raffle ticket sales.
What rifle are we raffling again?
Oh, boy. It's a 243,
I think. Yeah, it's a 243 Winchester.
Yes, it is.
No, it is.
I don't remember the brand, but yeah, it's. I think.
Where's your bake sale going to be held at? I'm going to put that in my notes next time because you said it was like August 8th, right?
Yeah. August 8th, we're going to be at the Diamond and Spear Shooting Complex in North Pole starting at 10 a.m. During their Rimfire Ruckus competition. And then we hope to go over to Alaska Ammo the next day, probably after church time around 1 o'clock to Alaska Ammo with what's left.
Okay. I'm typing that into my notes right now so we can mention that next show. Okay. And then we still have the raffle, right?
Yep, yeah. That's still going on.
How can people buy tickets?
So they can contact me, 907-351-8625, and they can Venmo or whatever works for them. And we're drawing that on August 17th. We wanted to make sure that it was gone before hunting season.
I've been putting your phone number in wrong at Safeway.
Okay.
I've been putting 251, so whoever got the free rewards, you're welcome.
That's a totally different subject. But, all right, so we got the bake sale coming up on August 8th, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be over at the Diamond Spear Range in North Pole. And when you're done with that, then you're going to transition over to Alaska Ammo?
We're going to go to Alaska Ammo the next day.
The next day. So August 9th
correct.
Is when you'll be over to Alaska Ammo.
Yes.
All right, and then you also still have your drawing for the Winchester 243. Answer 7.
351-8625.
All right, call 907-351-8625. You'll get a hold of Melody over there, and she will get you the tickets or get you hooked up for the tickets to get into that drawing for the Winchester 243. The drawing will be on August 17th, and not need to be present to win. Just get your phone number on your ticket, and they'll call you if you won. I think that's a great opportunity for the team because here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. This is the continuation of the legacy that we need to have for the Second Amendment and for our youth, period. Like, this is incredibly important. Like, if something like this dies, much like, I don't know, Boy Scouts did, but if something like this dies in our country, then, like, we're done for. I got to tell it. Like, there was a reason why it's incredibly important that we have our youth not only still hunting and fishing and doing those self-sustaining skill sets. Like, I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And besides the fact that you're learning, like, life-saving skills, but you're also learning how to survive and develop your own mentality that you can do things on your own. I think that's incredibly important. So thank you to the YHEC team for coming in today. Thank you, Melody.
Thanks,
and
Chuck.
The other coach, was it Judah?
And Matt. Right.
Thank you,
and
Matt.
Yeah. Of course. Sorry.
Everybody who called in, too, from the YHEC team, appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, support them. Period. Yes, let's get them down there to see next year. They can beat Texas again. Maybe they can beat a couple other big states, too. But they'll be in Pennsylvania next year. So thank you for joining us here at Shooter's Corner. We'll see you next week here, 97.5 FM.
The Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters.